Number one, the hands. So verse 12, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place. The disciples continued, despite the Sadducees saying, quit preaching Jesus, quit talking about Jesus, quit doing any of this stuff, nothing Jesus. They kept doing it, and lives are being impacted every single day. When I look back at last week, we actually had somebody come and take pictures. There's tons and tons and tons of pictures. And so as I went through these pictures, and if you don't follow us on social media, Megan put together a video clip of all the different things that were taking place that morning. And you go look at those pictures or that clip. Not right now. It was amazing to see all the things that were taking place. And one of the things that stood out as I went through the pictures was your faces and the joy on the faces. Laughing and singing and dancing and passing out coffee and donuts and praying with people. And just full of the joy of the Lord, sharing it and spreading it with everybody that was coming through. You were blessing those people, not just with coffee and donuts, but with smiles and laughter and joy. Sometimes we don't experience that. Sometimes we're in environments that are hurt or bitter or sad or frustrated or whatever it might be. And to come and experience some laughter and some joy and some peace is amazing. And that's what you were doing out there. The other thing I saw in the picture was unity. Everybody was working together. Moving totes. Those totes were not light. They were full of canned goods. Packing totes around, packing bags of potatoes around, packing turkeys around, making sure everything was loaded and ready and bagged. To see everybody working together was amazing. And it it started all the way back with hanging out the door hangers and going into the community and working on the building and all of those different things. You know, we want to give a big shout out to Moxie Java Nampa, because all that coffee was donated. We didn't pay a penny for it. All those cups, they just donated it all. They said they heard what we were doing, and Sammy, the owner, she said, I want to be a part. How can I be a part? We said, we need coffee. And she's like, I'll provide the coffee. And so, amazing. And so, in these verses, it says they were in one accord. And anytime the scripture is talking about the body being in one accord, I always want to pause and pay attention, because I feel like in our current world, everything is about discord, not one accord. Everything is about dividing and separating and pitting one side against the other, red and blue and black and green and whatever. And in these moments, we're in one accord. And when a group is unified and in unity, the impact, not just on the church itself, but on the community around them. People see what's happening just by your countenance. And it's so amazing when we can come in and be excited about an event like that. In this portion of scripture, all of these things, you know, what's happening now is after Ananias and Sapphira passed away. But it didn't create separation within the group. It says they're still in one accord. It talks about that earlier in the previous chapter as well, that they're in one accord, and it continues like that. Even after, you know, something unusual happens, they still go, okay, we are in this together. We believe God is doing something in this place, Miracles are continuing to happen. And so when I read these passages, I see a group that is excited about what God is doing. When you're excited about what God is doing in your life, in your church community, it becomes contagious. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to. They just see you and they see something is happening that is good in your life. And they'll start to ask questions. Did you know your face is a testimony? You get to pick what it's testifying about. And God is doing good things. It says here, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders. Well, today, you are God's hands. You are God's hands. Those signs and wonders are coming through you. And that can be hanging door hangers, building sound booths, hanging TVs, praying for people on the patio. It can be dropping off a meal. It could be giving somebody a hug. You are God's hands, and He wants to use you. The next thing that happens, verse 13 and 14, says, none of the rest dared join them. I had to stop and study that one. Wait, nobody's joining the church anymore. This is not good. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So I was like, well, are the church growing or not? Luke needs to make up his mind. So what's happening here is, after the incident with Ananias and Sapphira, the people watching, there's always people watching. We live in a fishbowl. There's always people watching. The people watching, the people outside the church, if you will, the people that maybe just go to synagogue because it's what you do, but they don't necessarily have a relationship with the Lord. They said, okay, we saw those people faking it. We all knew they weren't the real deal. And we saw them lie about what they did, and we saw them try to deceive everybody, and we saw what happened. So we're not going to go fake it. We're going to stand back here and watch. And it says, but they highly esteemed the apostles, the church. They saw what was happening. They saw that they were doing good things. They saw that they were upright people who feared the Lord. Fear does not necessarily mean scared. Fear means awe, in awe of who the Lord is, in awe of what the Lord is doing. And they had respect for those people. Part of that is that unity. When people are working together, they go, man, there is something happening in that place where they are coming together in unity. How many of us could say that our workplace is full of unity? Or do we go to work and we go home and we go, my word, these people are just ridiculous. I know where some of you work, so I know for sure you're coming home and saying that. And you just shake your head. I'm the only one here, so if I'm frustrated with the staff at the church, it's a bad day. I go home and complain to Megan about my coworker. She's like, well, you're going to have to fix him. So they didn't try to fake it. They just stood back and watched from afar. But the church, according to verse 14, continued to grow. People continued to trust in the Lord as they saw what the disciples were doing as they saw people getting healed. The church continued to grow. The church continued to increase. They estimate, I don't know how they do this, but they estimate that the church was probably around 10,000 people by now. We would be putting together a building committee. We would be hiring staff. We would be doing all of these things because all of a sudden we're a mega church. And we got to do mega church wall things, LED walls. We got to expand the parking lot. Got to buy a stadium somewhere. I mean, that's what we do, right, in our world today. And so the church is growing and increasing, and all of these things are taking place. I think one of the interesting things here for us to note is in today's world, I feel like sometimes as an organization, as a church, I say that just loosely representing churches in general, we want to water things down. We want to be seeker sensitive. We want to have all the latest, greatest, coolest things. These guys weren't doing that. They were preaching Jesus. They were in Solomon's portico. They were at the synagogue. It was not the greatest place. I mean, it was where everybody went to worship, and that's where they were teaching, and that's what it was for. They didn't go create their own thing, at least not yet. They were just doing what God had told them. They were just telling people about Jesus. They were telling people about his sacrifice. They were doing all of those things. They were praying for people. People were still getting healed. I believe we need to hold true to what God has called us to do. We are a unique group here. And God is giving us, and we're growing into our own identity as a body of believers. The outreach last week was phenomenal. Think we should do it again? Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's going to become part of our identity in the community and who we are and how people identify who we are. And man, it's a terrible thing to be known as a church that wants to reach back into their community and bless people. You guys are killing me today. We want to hold fast to the truths of Scripture. I believe people are hungry for truth. People are hungry for genuineness, people that are real, where you can come in. I told you last week to fake it, but this week you can be real. If you're hurting, we want to know it. If you're rejoicing, we want to rejoice with you. We celebrate the wins together. We cry together through the losses. All the while, God is growing us and strengthening us and leading us and guiding us. God continues to produce miracles, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, so they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. So they don't even try to get into the temple. They just lie in the streets out here and the sidewalks with the people that are sick. Or the people that are, that might have been tormented by unclean spirits. So they lay them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. The faith of the disciples, the faith of the believers following them, people just came. And not just people from Jerusalem, but the surrounding communities were bringing people, flocking to this thing that was happening, this move of God. And they just said, man, if we can even get them on the sidewalk. When Peter walks by, if his shadow falls upon them, they will be healed. That's some pretty big faith. I don't see any of you trying to get in my shadow. I mean, when you think about that, they go, all we need is Peter to walk by. You remember when Jesus was walking the earth, there's the story where he was walking through the crowd and he goes, somebody touched me. And the disciples are like, yeah, like 100 people. But what had happened is the woman who had been bleeding, she reached out and she touched his garment. And she had such faith that she said, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. And she was. And Jesus knew, of course, Jesus was God. And he's like, somebody touched me. No, they didn't just bump into me. Somebody. And we have the story of the woman that was healed. Because their faith, their confidence in who God was and what God could do was so great. Verse 15 doesn't specifically say Peter's shadow was healing people. At the end of verse 16, it says everyone was healed. They were all healed. All were healed, depending on what translation you're reading. It's all a continuous thought. So it's likely it's referring back up to that. And as Peter walked by and his shadow fell upon them, the people were being healed. Is it his shadow that was healing him? No, it's the work of the Holy Spirit as these people are believing that God is going to do something. So this is a moment in the early church where the growth was exponential. They're growing so fast. The church, you know, you can only kind of imagine what was taking place as they're doing all of these things. They don't have a church office. They don't have a church building. But these people are coming to know the Lord. These people's lives are getting transformed. And somehow they managed to stay in one accord. They managed to stay united. United in purpose. United in their goals. United in heart and mind. Those are the two hardest ones because we all want to go our own way. We all want to see our own thing happen. But they were all working together. I believe God wants to do all of these things. I believe we live in what I believe is a unique subculture of the United States. We are a unique people group in the Pacific Northwest. You know, the South has their thing, lemonade on the front porch or whatever it is they do. But we have our own subculture here in the United States and in the Pacific Northwest. And when you run into people in the Pacific Northwest, and we're going to cut the Pacific Northwest off at the I-5, everything over there, that doesn't count. They used to be part of us, but not anymore. If you have to get over that mountain, no. But it's a bunch of individuals that are strong. They're independent. They're capable. The only thing in all of the stuff we've done around this place that we hired out was the carpet, because I like my knees. Everything else in this building that has been done has been people in the church with skills and abilities, with a YouTube connection, whatever it might be to get the job done. Every single thing. If you don't know, these windows used to go all the way to the floor. Weren't even windows. They were a piece of glass held in by 1x2s. It wasn't even a window. And some guys said, we can change that. And we did order the windows. We didn't build the windows. But they built the wall. They put in the stuff outside. They made it pretty. Because we are a unique subculture. And sometimes what happens in this subculture, we go, I'm going my way. But God has brought you to this place. And last week was evidence that you are a united group working towards what God has. And I believe God has created a group of believers, or brought together a group of believers would be a better way to say that, that love the Lord. And God is moving this church into a new place, and God is going to continue growing it and building it. And great things are going to happen in this place as we continue to follow him. The disciples stay true, even as they keep getting yelled at by the leadership. They keep staying true to what Jesus told them to do. And that's what we're going to do. That's why we're going verse by verse of the scriptures, so we can't skip stuff and just do what we want to do and be happy, because we want to be transformed by the word of God, to be drawn into deeper relationship with him. If you question what God has for you, God wants to use you. God wants you to be part of a church community that loves you. God wants you to experience his goodness and his grace. God wants you to be his hands in our communities and in our church. God wants you to be a part of all these things. Let's pray. We're going to bless.